Danny boy, welcome back to List Cloggers, PTYLTD. How are you, my friend? Are you well? I'm assuming you're well.
You've assumed very well. I am well, mate. How's things?
How you been?
Been good. Could be better, but being very good, actually, considering.
Considering circumstances. Now I'm really well, mate. I'm going well and I've been good. Exciting times ahead at List Cloggers, PTYLTD. Can officially announce that next week we are back in the first episode of the new studio, the new Stewie Duo.
New Stewie.
And I'm excited to see you.
I'm excited to see you. Does that mean possibly once we contact YouTube, work out what's happening on that front, we might be able to put it back on there or not?
Apparently that YouTube is actually out of COVID now, so they are out of the restrictions. And we are back on YouTube next week.
God, I know a lot of people obviously are very concerned about YouTube. Was it working? Is it still around? Definitely still exists, but it'd be good to be back on there.
First holiday outside of lockdown, where are you going?
That's a great question. Great. So I'm probably just going to go to, so many places. In Australia? Or
yes.
Anywhere? I'm going down to probably Tassie, I think.
You're going to Tassie?
Yeah. So
you know I love Tassie.
You do.
You know I love Tassie.
Unofficial ambassador. I'll go to Tassie, I reckon. Go down to one of my favourite bars down there, get put in a rear naked chokehold, have a few drinks with the locals, and get your first flight out. Where are you going?
Yeah, shout out to Tassie. I'm not going to Tassie. I'm going to get up to Sydney. Need to get to that beach. Need to get the bot out. I used to live there, so if you didn't know, I've got a heap of mates up there. So, yeah, it'd be pretty cool to go up and see my mates and get to Sydney again. Let's get into the show.
Buckley kicked one from 50 last week. He's celebrating a point.
Jackie Chan returns. Enough of that bloody chit-chat. There's chit-chat. No time for chit-chat when you got chit-chat. Now, what a bloody week it's been, and what a bloody week it is at the moment, and what it's going to be in history's time.
Wild week, mate. Obviously no footy, so don't know what we were doing. I mean, they had a little bit of footy on with the Brownlow, and that was a little bit of a fix, but really, really messed up my whole routine.
Yeah, the Brownlow was, how do you say this politely? The Brownlow was good,
boring as
to watch. I don't get this feeling from Priority Pick, but from what I've heard from some people, I understand what they're saying when they say it puts you to sleep.
Mate, it's lost all. It's not even good to watch. I obviously had my issues with trying to get it on the TV. I'm moving house and don't have the antenna fixture in the house to put it to the TV. So I know a lot of you were really helpful with suggestions on the night saying, have you tried
putting
it on
Channel
7? Yeah. Yeah, I tried putting it on Channel 7, then I tried putting the antenna in, and then I tried putting it back on Channel 7. That didn't work. So I thought, you know what, let's just stream it on 7 Plus, the app. You wouldn't believe my eyes when they had from 7 to 10 border security booked in. I mean, if you're gonna not show me the Brownlow, don't give me 3 hours of border security that was filmed in 2008.
I don't get it. It's a great show. It's a great show, and it's actually a Priority Pick that will be up in a few weeks' time. I love border security, but it's like they literally did one season and they've just been using it for like the last 10 years.
Mate, it's literally the same stuff happens. And it was a great show. It was very insightful. Like, I know now how to lodge things up my anal cavity if I ever want to smuggle those through, you know, customs. That was great to know. So I've tried a couple of those techniques last night. Work a treat, so that's good.
Do you know, that's good to know. It's good to know for future reference. Mm. Do you know what's funny with those shows, like border security, the people on there, they act like they're absolute heroes, like on there, and don't get me wrong, it's a very, like, very good job. But, like, they're kidding themselves if they think they're catching everything that comes into the country.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a lot of things that get into this country that they're not catching at all.
Nah.
So I just wouldn't be just patting myself on the back too hard when it comes to protecting the borders.
Yeah, actually so true. Like, they're obviously missing a shitload of stuff that's coming through that's bigger and more important. But when they catch someone coming through with 50 noodles, good luck, buddy. We just stopped you. We've just saved the day.
Yeah, when they catch some poor bloke that's come here from overseas and he accidentally packs some fruit, then,
get
then
on
he's
the
one
ground.
That's...
Get on the fucking ground.
It's just not on. So, yeah. They're doing the right thing, but also pull your head in. Mate, it's been a big week, as we said. The Brownlow, you tipped, I think. Who'd you tip?
I had the top three combo, Bont, Oliver, and Ollie Wines, and you really went left field, which is great.
Yeah, look, I just pick my mates. I don't really care who wins. Yeah. I think I picked Gorney, Petrarca, and Jackson McRae.
Yeah.
And look, for those people out there, I got copped a lot of DMs about that one this week. I obviously just don't care about the Brownlow. I really had no interest in it at all. Just picking some friends. Do I think they're going to win? Don't know. Do I want them to win? Yes. It was great to see Ollie Wines take it out.
Yeah, great effort. Obviously, a massive effort to take it to Brownlow. It's huge by him. But even like just back on the coverage of the Brownlow, it was actually, maybe it's been like this for years and I just noticed when I did eventually catch the back end of it and the interviews, the first interview, they were like, I think it was Jack Steele. He was like 11 votes out with two rounds to go. And like they were trying to build it up like he was a chance to win, like impossible for him to win it. He's 11 behind. There's two rounds left. And they were like, so Jack, obviously we've got a photo here that you used to kick a ball with your dad in the backyard. Is this true? And he's like, yeah. Yep. Well, it shows, mate. Now, you're only 11 behind, two rounds to go. Good luck. Like, what the fuck is that interview?
I love the stories. I love the monologues that they do. They got, like, Bontem, Pally, all these boys are like, yeah, you know, when Marcus was a kid, he was good at footy. Oh, fuck me. That was good to know. I'm sure that he was good at footy. I totally get that. Like, that makes complete sense.
I get they have to build the hype and extend the night out, but, like, okay, Jack, obviously... When you were under 11, you kicked three goals in the grand final. And, you know, we spoke to your parents and obviously they said ever since that day, they knew you'd be in the top 20 for the Brownlow. But, okay, cool. Who fucking cares? Just get through the night.
Exciting.
Great effort to Ollie. Obviously, a huge effort. I don't think that Brownlow really matters anymore. I think it's kind of... It's not as important as the other awards going around.
I tend to agree with you, and don't get me wrong, the Brownlow, it's the most historic award, it's good to win. But when you think about it, like the other two awards that are rivaling the Brownlow at the moment, you have the AFL MVP award through the Players Association, which is basically, you know, your own peers pick the winner of that. So like the umpires obviously pick the Brownlow, the AFL Coaches Association, the coaches are picking the award, and the AFL Players Association award, the MVP, the players are picking it. So... You think about it from that point of view, like it's sort of interesting to think what it is. So in the AFL MVP, the Bont won that. Walsh second, Took Miller third, and the players vote, obviously. AFL Coaches Association, Clayton Oliver won that. Bont came second, Wines comes third, and that's the coaches vote. Mm. And then obviously in the Brownlow, as I said, the umpires vote. So it's pretty strange, isn't it? Like you want to win the Brownlow because it's probably like the most historic award, but when you think about it, winning... The award that's been voted by your, you know, following players and coaches is actually probably better than getting it from an umpire.
Yeah, I reckon you're right. I think it's just there's so many variables now with the Brownlow. Like, literally, different umpires vote every round, so it can just go any. Like, they're gonna have different views on the games and how they see who stood out and stuff. I'd rather like obviously the players' award and the coaches' award. It's more consistent with who's actually watching the game and who has, you know, knowledge of what actually happened in that game. But in saying that, good effort to Wines. Like, I'd love to win a Brownlow. It's absolutely, it'd be massive.
I still want a Brownlow.
Yeah, I could have as well. But
the coaches one is actually the interesting one because, yes, you can be nominated by your peers being the best player, but the coaches award, like, that means you're actually causing headaches,
yeah,
you know, for opposition coaches, which we never did. And no, I suppose it'd be nice to have done that for anyone's ever done. I'm sure they'd be able to comment on. But let's stop talking about things that we'll never do.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some things that we might do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them being the Met Gala. That was interesting this week. That was in Paris. That was cool.
In Paris, I saw a lot of celebs going
there.
No,
it wasn't. It wasn't in Paris. Oh, it wasn't in Paris.
Oh, it's in New York.
It was in New York.
Sorry, I was not told. And thanks, producer Sam. In New York, a lot of weird kits getting around. Jeez, imagine you getting around there. You would absolutely fit in seamlessly there. I didn't know. Was it invite only? Like, they don't invite everyone, do they?
I think you have to buy a ticket.
Oh, invite only. Super exclusive, we've been told. So
yeah, okay. Maybe I should do some research on some of this stuff before I talk about it.
The Met Gala was cool. Some cool outfits going out there. Some stuff was just weird. Like, Frank Ocean had, like, a green baby, which I didn't really understand. Maybe I was just viewing the whole Met Gala on a bit of a surface level. Maybe there was more to it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's like a vinyl, mate. You don't really get that unless you sort of have it in front of you and you can watch it, which is really cool. Yeah, so that's awesome. Hey, the World Game, football.
Oh, yep, your mates.
Can I just say something before we get into this? Now, not priority pick this week, but I've been watching Ted Lasso. That is so good.
What's Ted Lasso?
It's like an unbelievable, like, series. It's just like, it's so positive. It's the Jason Sudeikis, that's who it is. And he's Ted Lasso, who's like an American ex-football coach who comes over and coaches a EPL Premier League team. It's like so shit, but just so good. It's a feel-good. It's positive. It's just nice. I like watching it, but it's not the priority pick. But if you want and you do, definitely go and watch it. It's actually funny.
Yeah, well, I need something to watch now that we're obviously going to be in lockdown for a little bit longer. But it says here Messi got subbed in his home debut for PSG. So it's obviously in Paris, as we all know. Oh, So he got subbed out, Sam Zinsser. So Messi got subbed out in his home debut for PSG, and that's obviously where, Dil?
Well, I just don't even know if that's actually true or not, so I'm not going to comment.
He got subbed out. That's expensive sub out. Yeah. Oh, and didn't shake manager's hand post-game and was furious. Well,
was Fish Fingers there?
Fish Fingers was not there, though. Maybe that's why it was a bit flat. Yeah, don't know about that. Isn't he like 47? I know I'm 48 now, apparently, during the week, but Messi's probably around my age. Was he 34? 34 getting subbed out on a lot of money.
You're 33.
No, I'm not. 48, apparently, according to something on Google during the week.
I don't know much about Messi. It sounds like a Messi situation. We'll move on from that. In the NFL, everyone's talking about the moment. Yeah, I know you're big on this. I'm picking a team, though. Who are you go for first?
I'll go for the Rams.
Yeah, LA Rams?
Yep. You had to Google it. Cannot believe you just
Googled that. Didn't. Oh, I am just checking the team that I go for. I've just forgotten their name.
What's their logo? I'll get it for you.
I'm just remembering what they're called. Now, they're called... Oh, it's the... Buffalo Bills. I go for the Buffalo Bills.
Who's their quarterback?
He is a guy that has blonde hair. I just followed them on Instagram, actually. Yeah. I'm now a avid supporter of the Buffalo Bills. I don't know who, what his name is, but I'm pretty sure that he was a high pickup this year, wasn't he?
Nah, Josh Allen, he was a couple of years ago, I think.
Yes, a couple of years ago.
Their quarterback. So, you're close to it, mate. But it's so good. I get up. 3 a.m. is when red zone starts. I mean, it's really... Mondays are tough to hang on all day once you're up at 3 a.m. just watching back-to-back-to-back games, split screen, touchdown to touchdown, big play to big play. But I'm all over it. All over. You should get around it.
I am actually getting into it. I told you. I go for the Buffalo Bills. I've got their quarterback here, Josh Allen. He is a good guy. I like him. I like the way he goes about it. I think they're going to be good. I think they suck at the moment, but they're going to be good. I'm getting on them so that it's on a bandwagon type thing. Yeah, like, I think anyone that goes for the Green Bay Packers, Arizona Cardinals, the Kansas City Chiefs, or the Atlanta Falcons, I just can't take seriously because I don't watch NFL yet. But even I know you're a bandwagon jumper. You're not allowed to go for those three teams.
How do you know that? What gives you that feeling?
Because that's what I'm saying. It's like they're just the most popular teams. Even I know those teams. And anyone that goes for them, I'm always just like, shut up.
Yeah, it's coming from a bloke who doesn't know anything, doesn't even know the quarterback of his own team or what they were called.
Yes, I do, the Bills.
Hey, I don't know if you spoke about this. Did we talk about me getting back in the ring for some reason?
No, but did I tell you that I had Aaron Sipos on Dylan Friends next week?
Oh,
who actually is an NFL player, so I actually know NFL players. He plays.
What position does he play?
He plays as a kicker.
Punter.
And he's very good. He's a former St. Kilda player, and he plays for the Philadelphia Eagles.
He does,
which is another good team that I like.
Oh, sorry. He does, yeah, correct.
Hey, Danny, as well, have you heard about Jordan Mailata from the Philadelphia Eagles? This guy's he's from Western Sydney. He couldn't even get a game in the NRL. He was previously sort of linked with Canterbury and Bankstown Bulldogs, South Sydney Rabbitohs in the under-20s team. Couldn't get a game in league. He's 2 metres tall and 203 centimetres. He's 24 years of age. He weighs 160 kilos. And he just signed under $100 million contract with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, that's a big boy. That's a lot of money.
Maybe I
should have done that. After footy, I should have gone over there and become the world's best tight end in the world.
Yeah, no, I don't think that would have happened.
No, again, another opportunity gone missing. That's right.
Hey, but you've gotten into boxing. You're a boxer.
Oh,
you're going to be a celebrity boxer. I'm excited about this.
Mate, you should have seen my eyes when I opened my inbox on a Sunday morning or whatever it was, and this message slid in saying, hey, bro, looking to match up a couple of guys for our next celebrity fight night. Oh, my God, celebrity. On December the 17th at the Melbourne Pavilion in Melbourne, all fights are 3x1-minute rounds with head guards and big 16-ounce gloves. Then two opponents he sent through. Bryce Ruthven, married at first sight, roughly 90 to 100 kilos, and Luke Packham. I don't know who the fuck those guys are. First of all, so I had to look up Bryce. Okay, so Bryce Ruthven, maybe my weight division. Bryce Ruthven was on Married at First Sight. Don't know, I didn't watch it. Bryce Ruthven's 5'9". I'm 6'7". Bryce Ruthven's 5'9" and weighs 90 kilos. I'm 6'7" and weigh 110. I would knock Bryce's head fucking off his body. And I try and act like big and tough. I wouldn't know how to throw a punch, but you put a 5'9 pissant in a ring with me, I'll put his head off his body. And I don't know why target me. Like, we spoke about this earlier in the podcast. Like, I get everything with reality TV has to come an end. But if I ever am in a ring doing a celebrity fight, everyone just come down and fucking you can tear shreds off me. You will never see me in that ring.
So I would love to see you in there. I think you're scared, to be honest.
That's I know. I so, but if I do do it, like just hypothetically, you and producer Sam, you guys would think I'm really cool though, wouldn't you?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Like I should do it. Like really.
You
like,
should
be actually awesome.
Let us know if you want Dan to jump in the ring and get that done. That'd be awesome.
Just don't know what he was thinking. Like, why would I ever jump in a ring? That fucking gives me anxiety thinking about jumping in a ring for 3 1-minute rounds with head guards on.
Oh, goodness gracious. Moving on to the NBA, which we love. Yes. Dante Exum has scored a lifeline. No, is this fucking true or not?
It is true.
I don't even know whether to read this shit out anymore because I don't know if it's true.
No, this is not a booby trap. This is true.
Okay. So it's $20 million? Who's that with?
It's true, yeah. NBA, yeah. Dante Exum has scored what they call a lifeline contract worth of $20 million. Not a lifeline at all. That's literally set life for changing. Life.
Yeah.
A lifeline is, you know, getting, you know, if this happened, getting cut from the Suns and then like Carlton or something picking you up for like 55K or something. That's a lifeline.
So does this mean that they, so with these contracts in the US, forgive me if I'm wrong here, but that's not guaranteed either, is it though? They can sort of have their contracts ripped up. Like,
yeah, well they can. And then they have what they call guaranteed money in their contract. So normally you'd sign and the guaranteed money would be like $3 million, but then you have all these incentives in the contract to then make it up to $20 million. So I think that's how his is how his is set up. But
so do they report – so is $20 million like the reported money that he'll definitely – like guaranteed and it could be more or is that just
– nah, I think the max you can make is 20. So guaranteed it'd be like $2 or $3 million to like show up, train, play in a few games. Yep. And then if he scores like X amount of points or averages, you know, 15 points a game, makes like an all-star team, whatever, he gets bonuses to put his team.
Crazy money over there. I think the minimum in the NFL, the minimum wage you can be on is $810 US. So that's nearly, you know, $1 million. In the NFL, in the NBA, the minimum salary is $925,000 US. That's if you've had years of experience. So if you're on 3 years of experience, it's $1.7 million.
That's fine.
If you're on 2 years, it's 1.6. 1 year is 1.5. So just like pretty crazy how much money they're on over there. It's unbelievable. And especially when you think about the AFL. Like I know it's not generating as much money, but players should be – they definitely should be getting paid a lot more. The AFL is absolutely robbing the players. It's unbelievable.
Correct. Obviously, GMZ broke Ben Simmons a couple of weeks ago now.
Yeah, what's happening?
The update on that, wow, things are really – starting to go sour on this front, I think. I think Philly have said, well, either won't trade you or we're going to force you to come back in. And Ben's gone back saying, nah, I'm not coming to any training or game throughout the season if that happens. He wants out. So, obviously, the Trailblazers are still in the box seat from what my sources tell me. No updates on that one. That'll obviously play out how it plays out. Sorry, man. I don't know if you've noticed. I'm feeling a bit unmotivated at the moment.
Why's that?
Oh, I don't know. I've been on TikTok and found this guy who gives me motivational talks. And whenever I watch him, I just feel a bit better about my life. So do you mind if I just play myself one? Maybe.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, then. Yeah, that's better. Now I feel good. Sorry about that. I'll keep playing throughout the episode. Just obviously, guys, if you need some motivation, do you feel better after that?
I do. I feel very motivated after that one. That's thanks, great.
Man. No, not really.
There's nothing better than TikTok motivational videos that just get you right up and about.
Oh, mate, nothing better than going on TikTok and just, I think everyone on TikTok thinks they're like a motivational speaker, which is great. I'm all for it. I'm all for thinking you're someone that you're definitely not. All for it. So I'll just keep playing those guys, obviously. Now we're going to do a bit of motivational in this podcast, just this one episode. We'll probably keep doing it, but just when I feel like we're feeling a bit flat in the episode, I'll try and bring us back up with that guy.
Please do. Let's move on to some footy ball before we get into what a big game it's going to be this weekend. Some news. What's your thoughts on this? Now, we bleed blue. You bleed a little bit of red and yellow, and I obviously bleed a bit of orange and charcoal. Yeah. But
charcoal.
Michael Voss. Oh, yeah. Looks set to join the Blues.
That's honestly, now that's, oh, we do love the footy club, but if that's true, if that report is true, as a fan, strictly for myself, that is flattening. How do you go from Clarko and with all due respect to Michael Voss? Like, Voss, he coached Brisbane for 4 years and led them to like 40 wins.
Mm.
And they had a young list that was like developing with talent, high-end draft picks, and then they all left and got out of there. So if that is true, I'm sure he's a good bloke, but that would... Yeah, don't know about that move.
It's interesting, I think. You think that when Carlton would have sacked Teague, they thought that they would have had like a game plan in place to probably go to get, you know, Ross Lyon or to get a Alistair Clarkson. But it's, yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see what happens there. And I said this throughout the week as well, like, it's not so much even who they get to coach the club, but it's like, who are they going to get to actually come in as the assistants, the senior assistants, director of coaching, all these types of roles. It's a bit concerning to think that, like, there's literally no one really else out there that they can get. I just saw before as well, like, on Channel 7 Instagram, that Clarko had literally put the line through and said, how many times have I said this? I want a break. So that's scary.
It's embarrassing. Yeah. We've kind of messed it up. Do you reckon, I know this has worked for me a couple of times when I've done something I shouldn't have or feeling a bit bad about something that's happened. Do you reckon if we send Teague like a nice cheese platter or hamper and just say, hey, in the card, really sorry, thoughts on coming back, ? He'd come back or not?
Well, he's just signed with the Tigers, so I don't know if that's going to happen anymore.
Okay, well, let's double his salary and bring him back.
It literally, like, I don't know. I have a feeling Carlton is going to come and say, hi, we're joking, like, we've got all these plans, but, like, there's just nothing that's sort of, like, looking like happening at the moment.
Mate, it's bizarre. It is bizarre. I don't know. Yeah, we've fully botched it, but I don't know. I'm trying to go there next year, and I've said my services are still available. Happy to set the tone there again next year, but, you know, they're not making it easy for me. I haven't even heard about the review. Don't know who the coach is. Like, sure, the players need to find out who the coach is so they can do their preseason training, work out the game plan. But how about a thought for me when I'm there rocking the absolute shit out of the G or Marvel Stadium to 5,000 screaming
crowd.
Fans?
To a full crowd. Yeah, that you'd think the priorities need to be messed up. You know, they need to be signing you on at least a 2 to 3 year deal.
Because Blues,
guaranteed.
And if you listen to this, Blues, I'll fucking walk. Like, I'm not scared. Okay? I heard Gold Coast want me. They want to fly me in and out. To set the tone up there to at least 2,000 members. And I'll do it. Oh. I'll rock the shit out of Metricon Stadium. So, yeah, disappointing.
Let's move on in this. It's trade period as well, Danny Boy. This is exciting time of the year, and I love this time of the year. I love player movement. I think it's good for the game. People that say it's bad for the game, I don't understand it. Like, you say it's bad for the loyal fans. Well, players are moving to other clubs, so those fans are getting excited. So it's only bad if a player leaves your club. But if you bring players in, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. I'm really excited for this. I want to put because GMZ is such an incredibly news-breaking, it's a great, you know, a really, really, really awesome and integral part of the show, and I really appreciate all the hard work you do.
Thank you.
I would love for you to put in some work on this and try and find some breaking news on trades.
Oh, mate, I might have something for you coming up.
Wow.
So we'll talk about later.
Danny Boy, it's time for People Who.
People Who. People Who. We hate the things that these people do.
Oh, goodness gracious, goodness gracious. What do you got for me this week, my
grand
friend?
Grand final edition. Let's do it about the grand final. A lot of People Who come out this time of the year, obviously with the brand on, telling you about who they reckon is going to win, the grand final, Norm Smith, first goal, whatever it may be. But people who complain about Brownlow votes. It's just, I had a few messages.
I think we did that today.
We did do that. But the vote specifically when, like, they're tracking it and they're, I know they got some wager on or whatever they're doing. They're like, oh, no. He had fucking 43. He had 43 and they got 2 votes. What the fuck? No, that's like, who cares? Like, it's a Brown, relax, okay? It's the Brownlow. Take it easy. It reminds me of a time I played with a player who was a chance to win a few and a couple times. And he went, obviously, and with a table. I didn't get invited to the table. Like, fuck no. It was like top 5 players that year at the club get to go to the Brownlow. And this person, obviously, was a red-hot chance. Anyway, they give you the form guide on the table, the Brownlow, and you can pull out the form guide and track how other people are going in what round. So you could see in round 7, okay, Bont's going to have 28 and 2. You know, he's probably going to get votes there. Or Max is going to have 15 and 1 goal. He's probably not going to pull votes. Anyway, this red-hot favourite didn't drink a beer hardly all night, tracked the record, and every time he didn't get votes where he thought he was, he'd be like, nah, that's fucked. Look here. I had 33 and a goal. That's not on. Nah. Like, don't do that. That's my people who.
I'm assuming this is a... I'm going to work out who this
is. From Gold Coast. If you're going to say, is it Sam Day again?
From Gold Coast. Is it Danny Stanley?
How do you know? It's Danny Stanley. Yeah, nailed it.
Is it Alec Madgen?
How do you remember him? Alex Macon. You're trying to find other people, random people.
Was it Jacob Gilby?
Jacob Gilby. No, not him.
It wasn't Seb Tate, was it?
You're getting warmer.
Joel Tippett.
Yeah, done. It was Joel Tippett was tracking it.
Fantastic. Okay, good. Good to know. That is a bit of a people who. I missed the brief on the actual grand final people who this week. I just sort of found another one. One of my mates, Jeffrey. thanks so much for sending this one in. And I never even realized this till he sent it. And that's what I love about people who, the innocuous things that you don't even know people are doing until someone says it. And you don't even know what annoys you till it's brought up in your mind. As I said, Jack Jeffrey, this one, sent this through. People who get their name imprinted on the back of their iPhone case.
Yeah.
What?
Sucks.
What are I've you seen doing? That you don't need that on the back of your phone. Like, what?
You're never losing it. Be like, oh, anyone see my initials on that? It's mine. Like, if it's your phone case, just ring your phone. Like, that'll just tell you if it's your phone or not. Like, everyone's got an iPhone. Just ring it.
Yeah, not for me. Not for me. I don't love that one.
It's not bad. Random. I went for a bit of a deep dive in the DMs there as we occasionally go in there. Obviously, the dog thing, we went in there, saw a lot of scary dogs that we don't even know if are dogs or not. Still trying to figure out. But there's a couple of things that came to my attention. This was one of them. Caleb Monroe says, "Hey, lads, assuming you're well." Assumed well. On the back of last week's episode and your bad coffee order segment, I possibly have the worst food order in general. My mate's mum, when at Macca's, swaps out the beef patties in a Big Mac for the fish patty, so it becomes a big fish Mac.
Oh, that's actually not bad.
No,
I don't mind
that. Don't do
that. That is terrible. That's actually all right.
That's a three-tiered fish fillet.
Oh, that's makes me feel a little bit sick. Gee, some of the coffee orders that we've been copping, though, throughout this time as well.
Yeah.
It's been truly, truly horrific on some of those.
I know.
But we'll make sure we read some of them out next week when we're back in studio. We're going to be a lot more prepared. And please keep remembering to send in your dogs next week when we've got the video going. I would love for you to send in a video. This is what I want. Send in two videos to List Cloggers. Send in one saying, "Hey, Dil, this is my dog. What do you think it is? I need help." And I will tell you what the dog is. And then if you have an idea of what you think it is, send that in as another video after that, because we'll play one. We'll play the first video. I'll tell you and diagnose you what the dog is. And then after that, we'll play the second video of you saying what it is. And we'll see if I got it right.
I like that. Yeah, great, cool. Just while we're here, I guess the Strava thing, guys, please stop following me on Strava. Like, I don't use it. I did one run as a salute to you all. Please stop. Like, I get the email, I get the notification, I get your comment notifications. Please just stop following me. I don't appreciate it. I don't use it. And then this obviously ties into Braden, who I agree with this, because I actually had to go look at what was happening on Strava, because you guys kept blowing up my Strava profile. And he goes, people who caption their Strava slow Saturday or something when they pump out 4-minute Ks.
Yes. Just a shout out to, again, List Clogger of the generation, Nick Graham, does this. He makes a point when he's doing his run on the weekend. If he's not feeling his best, he makes sure he says, "Felt like shit today, just took it easy." It's like, we don't care. Like, we honestly, no one cares. No one's judging you on what K-pace you're running. Yeah. Just cop it on the chin. If you're slow, you're slow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, wasn't feeling good 3Ks in. Still pumped out 15, pretty slow, 4:14 Ks an hour. Like, 4 minute, 4 minute, yeah. No, don't do that. Don't do that.
I've got another one. I know we spoke about him last week, but Jake McBean, seriously, it's like he genuinely invented running last week. He's the only person that's ever stayed fit, apparently. He's just like genuinely thinks he's like the man. Yeah. He goes around on Strava now just commenting on other people's like runs, saying, "Do you want to race? Yeah, I'd smash you." Like, shut up. Honestly, shut up.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah, I just want to stop fucking following me on Strava, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Guess what? Guess what time it is, man?
What time is it?
Time for that show on the week. Damn. Unfortunately, I don't have much for you this week.
Got no motivation?
Just kidding. I've got heaps. Play the sting. GMZ. All right. Deal. You silly goose, mate. Just when you think I'd come unprepared to my own segment, you are a moron. I always come prepared. And this time, obviously, grand final show. This GMZ has taken its own life form. It's almost become its own entity itself. And
You've been getting quoted in like newspapers and Instagram pages about GMZ.
That's actually scary that's happening. Just to confirm, I do know a little bit about what's going on. Obviously, I've broken some of the biggest stories. Surprised I didn't get voted or nominated for Reporter of the Year, maybe next year. But because it's the last really grand final episode, GMZ, before we move into the off-season, I just want to dedicate this one to all the eyes and ears that I have on the ground. I have so many eyes and ears on the ground, man. That just people see things, they hear things, and they're part of the company, GMZ. They're part of the system. So I want to dedicate this one to them. GMZ again. GMZ. Oh, sorry. She says anonymous. Cut that out. Beep out the name. GMZ. I want to remain anonymous. Wow. You know what's cool when that says some potential info on Chris Scott.
Wow.
Dad's physio, who has a close connection to AFL, has spilled that Scott has asked for a payout next year, claiming if Geelong don't want him in 2022, he wants out now.
Wow.
How good's GMZ? Just scoop after scoop. Here's another one. Here's a third scoop on your ice cream cone. Danny Jones. Don't know if you want to be anonymous. Too bad. Got some GMZ content for you this week, Goz. Adam Chera spotted him running near the Yarra just now wearing a Melbourne Demons hat.
No.
Hey, I know you like to see him at the Blues next season, but I reckon there's something in that. Adam Chera is running around the Yarra with a Demons hat on.
Are you sure it was Adam Chera?
Oh, who else is going to be, mate?
Could have literally been anyone with a Melbourne hat on. I'm not sure.
Okay, so let me answer this then. Coincidence, he wants to come home. He's from Melbourne. He wants to go to a Melbourne team. He's got a Melbourne Demons hat on. Do the maths, mate. Don't be a bloody moron. Of course it's him.
It's impressive. It's impressive. Yeah, you've really set the tone this week for GMZ. Is that it or you got more?
That's all I got for you this week.
That's impressive.
Thank you to,
good.
Thank you to everyone. Obviously, some big stories there. And thank you for being my eyes and ears on the ground. Obviously, trade period going to be coming up. I'm going to be throwing out a heap of scoops that are probably going to be way off. One might stick and then it's hallelujah. But the rest we're not sure about. But thank you everyone for being involved. Love you so much. And again, I'm going to sing for you. I am bringing the scoops for you. Do you want a GMZ scoop for ice cream? Lick it, lick it, lick it, lick it up.
Oh, I like the ice cream. That's good.
Thank you.
Hey, can I give a DMZ?
Oh, please. Oh, mate, of course.
I had one. I thought you'd maybe this might have been inboxed to you as well, so I let you go. I know it's an incredible segment. You've got some great fans.
Me, isn't
I thought
it?
I'd let it go.
Next year?
Someone, it's not that. Someone someone messaged me in Marky Christian Orchid. Now, again, I'm not sure if they want to be known as identity or not, but this isn't really GMZ. It's actually just a fact that they saw, and this is the Melbourne Demons really setting the tone in Western Australia. Did some shopping at Universal Store in City of Perth. Who walks in? Gorney, Jake Lever, and Big Tommy Mac. Tommy and Maxie don't buy anything, and Jake buys whatever. Jake totally sets the biggest tone by saying who he is and who the other boys are to the cashier lady while there was other people walking around the shop not bothered at asking who they are. And Jake was wearing leather Crocs.
Oh.
Then they go on to say, people who wear Crocs in public. That's disgusting, for one. Two, how good is the fact that Jakey Lever's going around telling everyone who the Melbourne Demons are in the shop and no one's even asking. We love that.
Fuck that. It's actually great. I love, just on Jake Lever, he's a great player, good bloke. He's just the one person that you'd never suspect to have a massive Lever tattoo on him. Have you seen his tat?
Yeah, it's great.
It's great. He's got a massive Lever tat. I'm all for it. Just putting your own name, putting your own sticker on you, branding yourself with your own name. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'm all for it. All the merit to him. So all the power to him. And again, as you said, you've got some great eyes and ears out there. But thank you to Marky Christian Orchid for sending that one through. We love having eyes and ears out in the streets. And it does mean the world to us. Hey, let's move on. It's time for our new segment called The Stats Man, brought to you by our friends at KO. That's right. Now that the 2021 AFL season is drawing to a close, let's see who the superior list clogger is. We're going to ask a set of questions to see who has a bigger brain when it comes to knowing the latest AFL season back to front.
Statsman is made possible by KO's interactive stats feature, which lets you dive into a world of facts and figures. Taking you well beyond the game, launched during a match, you'll enjoy a real feast for the eyes with analysts and key statistics per game. It's just another great feature from the legends at KO.
Danny, here's some questions from the finals. You've got three questions. I've got to see what you got right, and they're all around stats. Who had the most tackles in the Doggies Port prelim?
Libba.
No. One more guess.
I'm going to go with Peter Adams.
No. It was actually Scott Lysett.
Oh, what?
How good.
Random.
Big Scotty. Setting the tone. Right. Who had the most contested possessions in Essendon versus Doggies elimination final?
Draper.
No.
Bont.
No.
Oh.
Jackson McRae.
Oh, Jack.
Which team had more clearances in the D's Cats prelim?
Which team did?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, D's for sure. By an absolute country mile.
The Cats?
Had more clearances.
Is that true?
They won by 4,000 points.
I know. Well, these are the stats that KO give us, mate. They're incredible and they're very, very true.
Great insight. I wouldn't know that.
You got absolutely zero. Give me a go.
Okay, then. Do you have this? Try this one for size. Who had the most contested possessions in the Geelong D's prelim?
Clayton Oliver.
No.
Patrick Dangerfield.
Jack Viney. Off to a good start. How many disposals did Lachie Neale have in the first qualifying final?
28.
No, he had a lot more than that.
36.
He had 46.
Holy fuck.
And last, how many goals did Orazio kick in the first Port qualifying final?
Three.
Four. Oh, sorry. I didn't really have another chance. Let's kick four. Sorry.
Four.
Oh, yes. Correct, man. Nailed it.
1-0. How good's that? And how good is the access from KO? And that's unbelievable. Dan, did you also know that cricket lives here on the KO app?
That's right, Dil. Our record-breaking women have kicked off the summer with their series against India underway. And then we turn our attention to the ICC Men's T20 World Cup, which is live and exclusive on Fox Cricket, available on KO. Can't catch the whole game? Scroll through the wide selection of KO minis, KO's condensed match replays, to catch up on all the action you might have missed the night before.
Thanks to the legend of KO for making this segment possible. New to KO, sign up for free trial at kosports.com.au. Get on it and get real. And how good. Fantastic. We love KO. Thank you so much. Hey, now let's move on to a very, very big thing. The reason we're here, the reason we get up in the morning, and it's that one day in September. It's the AFL Grand Final this week. How exciting.
So exciting.
I don't even know where to start, Dan. Who wins this game?
Well, I just need to start off with some more motivation, if that's all right.
Yeah, please do. I'm feeling a bit flat.
Okay, me too. That's better now. I feel better after that. You feel all right now?
I feel so motivated right now. That's fantastic. Thank you.
Because I'm never going to sit there and cry about someone ever. Fucking needed that. Hey, like you said, biggest week of the year for these two teams. It's actually one of those grand finals where I think most fans would be happy if either team wins.
Yeah, it's genuinely hard to pick a winner for this. And I honestly don't know. If you go head to head, if you go like, all right, who's the better team? Who's more in form? You'd say Melbourne. And you'd say that they're probably favourites going into this game. But the strength with the Doggies, from my point of view, is the fact that they've got this underdog mentality. They've done it in 2016. They're on this ride that's just been absolutely unbelievable. And they're role players. They love playing roles on certain players. And I think that that's the thing that can actually help them get across the line against the D. So it's honestly such a game. I cannot split who's going to win this game. And I'm not just saying that because I'm best mates with every single bloke out there.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for you to watch. You might have to obviously keep your eyes closed for most of it, just in case all your mates get hurt or you don't want to see them compete against each other, obviously. So I think it's actually so, like, D's are red hot, but then the Doggies come in and everyone's written them off every game up to this one. But they just literally, they run so deep in the midfield. Like, they just love, obviously contested footy. They love stoppages. Then their midfielders get to every contest. So I don't know. I can't pick it. It's literally just, you go on form, or do you pick the Doggies who just keep proving us wrong?
Oh, I know. It's tough. Let's just quickly go through a bit of the background of each club. So Melbourne Footy Club, they've been in a premiership drought since 1964. Goodwood took over the coaching reins in 2017. Maxi Gawn's obviously doing an incredible job there. They've been the strongest team all year round. It's been amazing seeing, like, people get the credit for this. Like, I feel like for some reason, Goodwin just doesn't get any credit when it comes to coaching. Like, people are saying this week, there was like an article saying this has been built by Paul Roos. I was like, what the fuck? Goodwin has done this the whole time. And obviously, Choco's been a massive support coming into that this year. But at the end of the day, it's Simon Goodwin's the head coach. He's got to be responsible for this. Western Bulldogs, Cody Waitman, who's an absolute star. Hopefully, he comes back in. We love him. Mm. They fell out of the four. Kane Corns, one of the, you know, friend of List Cloggers, he wrote them off. A lot of people wrote them off. I think even I wrote them off, which is incredible. You didn't know. I think you wrote both these teams off. We actually had the audio from like 4 weeks ago. You said that both these teams are done. They're led by a genuine superstar of Hall of Famer of Bontempelli. Won in 2016 with the elimination final. Doggies looking like doing it the hard way. We spoke about Rourke Smith last week, absolute star. Gardner pouring pints at Yarraville, playing for Footscray, who's made his way. Bailey Smith, final series has like been no other, to be honest. And Mitch Hannon, who joined the Doggies, is actually playing for the D's now.
Yeah, look, obviously a lot.
And just on that, actually, sorry to add to that bit. We've just had intel from a lot of fans in the show. You have tipped against the Dogs the last 8 weeks.
I'm probably going to tip against them 9 times. And I get a reaction every time. And again, tipping, you know, we tip. We're not like your other tipsters where we're just tipping to try and get one up on each other. We're tipping because we want to see all these teams do really well. And when I tip against the Doggies, it's because I want to get a reaction out of them. And I've obviously done that. So do I get a medal on Saturday if they win? Probably not. Should I? Up to you guys to decide.
Probably.
I don't know.
Probably.
Look, obviously, a lot of key matchups here that will go a long way to winning the game. You got Dre on Cozzy. That's actually a great
matchup. Huge. Cozzy's going to be massive.
Dre did a job on Cameron, would have been 2 weeks ago now, and he did a really good job playing him from behind. I watched the vision from behind the goals.
Same.
Because I want to see the running patterns. I want to see where they're positioning, just so I can obviously send in emails to Goody to let him know, like, obviously where to get a bit of a one up. We got Norton, who either play on May or Petty, our boy Petty. We love Petty. He's been in red hot form as well. And then does Shaqy do what he did to Alia, go to Lever and make him accountable in the air? You think probably that worked really well. And then you come to the middle, and this is where it gets fun. Bont, Track, Oliver, Petrarca, Gorn, Smith, McRae, Libber. You can keep naming them. You can go all day. So that's where it'll be won right there in the midfield.
Yeah, it's very, very impressive. I'm really looking forward to seeing how it all goes. This game's massive. You've said all the massive matchups, but obviously it's going to be huge. I really don't even know who's going to win this game. So, Danny boy, let's get into some predictions, my friend, because we love to predict the game, the great game that is AFL and the grand final, and it's exciting.
Let's go for it. I'm ready to predict. What are you going to start with?
Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Yeah. Which key matchup will decide the game and how will it play out?
Oh, obviously, the midfield is an easy one to go for. I think Norton May will decide it.
Mm.
Norton doesn't need a marker more, but as long as he's flying at everything and crashing packs, that's where it's won, I reckon.
That's a bloody good call. I think a massive matchup will be with May. Now, we know he's not injured, but under that cloud of people thinking there might be something there, I think it puts even a bigger emphasis on Jake Lever. And if you're an absolute footy head like myself, you'd know that last week Josh Shaqy went to Alia in that final, played a massive role on him intercepting, and then actually kicked a couple goals as well. So it was massive. So I think that Shaqy role, Lever, will be massive.
Yeah, good call by you. And you are a footy head, so it's glad that
Thank you.
Drop that in. All right, Norm Smith, who you got for it?
Oh, this is tough. I think that this bloke's built for this stage. I think it's exciting for him. Oh, I've picked one from each team. Harry Petty's in incredible form. I've picked one from each team here. Doggies, I've got Tom Liberatore.
Yeah.
Melbourne, I've got Petrarca.
Yeah, nice. I'm just going one out here. I think Gorn. Maxi Gorn. Win, lose, mate.
I reckon he's going to set it.
Oh, mate. He's a captain. He's kicked 5 in the last game. He sets the tone for the boys. He's so scary. I reckon he wins it, regardless of result.
We haven't even spoken about this one, but give us your first goal tip. I'm going to go with Jimmy Spargo.
Yeah, great call. First goal. Oh, I reckon first goal, it'll be a Doggies first goal. It'll be Mitch Hannon. Yeah, against the old team.
You just said Doggies. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, he plays the Dogs.
Thanks. You fantastic. Thought he played for Melbourne, didn't you? Yeah, that was last year, man.
Yeah. Nice. Left field prediction, have you got one of them?
Yes, I do. The venue, the stadium, they will run out of tomato sauce by 3/4 time. There'll be no tomato sauce ready at the ground for pies, for sausage rolls, for chips. They're going to run out completely. Not sure how I'm going to track that since I did sack my eyes and ears on the ground over there a couple of weeks ago, but I need someone to keep me updated on the sauce situation all game.
Mine is that someone doing the halftime sprint is going to do the hammy or an injury. I think someone's going to do something. One of the players in that halftime sprint is going to do something.
Halftime sprint, if you're in that is literally, I'm just going in third gear. I've got free tickets to the game. I got to roll out at halftime, go at 60, 70%. And that's all I'm doing. Like, surely they're not going for it.
No, they're not at all. They're not at all. But I think the winners actually get like 10 grand or something. So I think someone will be trying.
I'm not there then.
Most goals, I'm going Aaron Norton. I think the Astronauts can have a big one. He's playing on his home deck too. We forget he's the mayor of Western Australia over there, the Prince of Perth. Mm. He's going to really set the tone, I think, in terms of goal kicking. Yeah,
I'm going Luke Jackson.
Ooh. Yeah. Most goals.
I reckon he's going to stay at home four, let Maxi do his thing in the ruck, and then Lukey Jackson's going to start clunking him left, right, and centre.
Mm. Okay.
Dogger, that's what I call him.
Sunday
headline. D's get up. Sauce, please help us. Oh, fuck.
That was shocking.
D's win, no sauce.
That was shit. Mine is D's in the doghouse. Player tears hammy off bone in grand final sprint.
Fuck, I can definitely see like the Herald and the Age, Advertiser, whatever paper it is. They can definitely use those headlines. So that's for free, reporters out there.
Definitely. What's the result and margin to finish this game? We've said it 14 times on this, and I'm not joking. It is so hard to split these teams. I feel like it could be decided within 1 point. That's why I've said a 1-point margin. Who do you think wins?
Fuck. Do they go into extra time in the grand final? I'm going draw. Yeah.
Oh, no. There can't be a draw. We've done this like 2 years ago. There was a draw.
Yes, they don't do another game next week,
think,
do they?
Wasn't
just, they go next time.
No, they do another game next week. No, they do another game.
No, they don't. They do extra time, don't they?
No. It's a draw. You have another game next week.
They changed it to finals, so it's extra time. Okay.
Sorry, what are we agreeing on here? It's definitely,
goes extra
grand
time,
finals
extra
a repeat.
Time. No, you don't do it anymore because it's a big fuck around.
Really?
Yeah, they changed it. It's extra 5 or 10 minutes. I honestly think it's going to be a draw and then doggies get them. By 3 points.
Wow, that's big.
And then this headline.
I said the Dogs by 1 point. I seriously think it's going to be such a close game. I've no idea.
Then they can use this headline: Dogs draw with D's. The sauce, please. Someone please help us get sauce here. We're all out of sauce.
I hate you so much. Big question though: does Max Gorn into a certain Hofer? What does that mean?
Famer. Oh my god. Does you read this run
I've
sheet?
I've never ever seen anyone put a hofer does like that. A hofer. What
on
is
the run
that?
Sheet, guys, it says capital H O capital F E R for Hall of Famer. And deal, you've gone.
It says E R. It's hofer.
Does this bring Max Gorn into a certain hofer?
I reckon he's a hofer.
He wins a flag. Nah, I don't reckon.
Yeah, but. They don't hand them out these days.
No, they don't.
I do think that this will go a long way to doing that. Max Gorn has absolutely lit this stage up, and it's going to be exciting. No matter who wins this week, it's going to be good for the game. Can you imagine, though, if there wasn't a lockdown and if there wasn't all this stuff going on, can you imagine how big a grand final would be in Melbourne with Melbourne and the Doggies playing? Mate. Like, it's unbelievable matchup.
The city, Melbourne itself, it's obviously leading now, on that Saturday, it would be rocking. Every bar, every pub around the G in Melbourne itself would be going absolutely off. So it's a shame, obviously, we're not going to be able to do anything here in Melbourne to see it, but good on people in Perth. Perth, get around it. Go set the tone. Get to every bar you can.
Set it hard for us.
Yeah, it's a shame we don't get to see it.
It is a shame, but as you said, Dan, you said it beautifully. Mm. Perth is a deserving state. We love our Western Australians. We know they're going to do it well, and I'm excited for this game. It's going to be awesome to watch. I think we've touched on it all. We probably didn't give you any answers on anything to do with the game, but I think just to sum that up, we don't know who's going to win. We're not sure what the headline's going to be. Yeah. Not sure on any of the matchups, but besides that, good luck, and enjoy. Yeah.
And let us know about the source if you're there as well.
Now. Exciting times here. And I say just a big thank you to everyone that's been tuning in for this. I know of late there's been a few people in the DMs that have said, Dil, you know, we locked down, we need more content. We think you'd run out, but you just don't. All you do is live for us. You live for the Priority Pick family, and we love you so much. So I do really appreciate all those kind messages. Last week, I've got to be honest here, and I'd be pissing down everyone's back and telling them it's raining if I wasn't honest with the group and with the community. Clickbait.
Yep.
That sucked.
Oh, not fair.
That genuinely sucked. Yeah, no, I just don't know why. I'm sorry for handing that one out. Like, it was. Look, it's a surface level series. Like, good on you. It's what surface level people watch, but not for me. Yeah. Not for me. It's not what I do, and it's not how I like to send people to watching that sort of stuff. So I'm sorry if I wasted your time with that one. But this week, I'm hoping I can make up for it. This week, I'm going with a documentary.
Sorry, do you want some more inspo before you start this?
It was back into 2013. Yeah. Okay.
Then here's a little bit more, one more inspo then. Just the last one, just because I know you've been feeling a bit flat. This video is 21 is fucked their life up. I'm good now to go. Ready to go when you are. I feel better after that.
I don't know about life, but this segment's fucked. Now, Blackfish. This one's called 2013 American documentary film directed by Gabriella Corperthwaite. Obviously a great director there. It concerns Tilikum. Now, Tilikum is an orca, which is in surface level terms is a killer whale held by SeaWorld, and the controversy over captive killer whales. So basically this is about SeaWorld in the US, how they capture killer whales and put them into SeaWorld. It's just unbelievable. It's disgusting. It's heartbreaking watching these killer whales be like taken away from their families into captivity, and then they get trained. Now, part of this is, Dan, which is unreal. Like, they reckon that these killer whales are genuinely like the smartest animals on earth. I have to agree with. Have you seen the documentary?
I have. It's actually really good.
It's unbelievable. They capture these killer whales, they put them in captivity, they train them, And all of a sudden, this one whale called Tilikum, which has been taken away from its mother, it was beaten up by all the other killer whales in there. It attacks trainers. So it attacked a trainer and nearly killed one of the trainers. It actually, I don't want to ruin the documentary, but it may or may not have taken a few other lives. Oh, and SeaWorld try and pretty much cover this up. And I don't want to go too much further into this, but there is some things that's very controversial how they say that they're getting rid of Tilikum, but all they're actually doing is moving the whale to different SeaWorlds around the world. And they're also breeding off this whale so that when it comes back, it's actually got like tendencies to still be attacking humans. So in the first place, they shouldn't even be having whales in these type of facilities, but it is so eye-opening to see like what the fuck has actually been happening. Like you feel so shit for actually going to these types of places when you're a kid, yep. But I don't even know. Are they even like real things anymore?
Whales?
No, whales. Whales are real. Oh. Talking about SeaWorld.
Whales, the unicorns of the sea, as I call them. SeaWorlds are definitely still around. It's one on the Gold Coast, but you know, ever since I've
Because you used to have the four park super pass down there at Gold Coast. You used to probably go to SeaWorld most weekends.
There in a hog's breath, but ever since I've seen that duck, I've stopped eating whales. Just, you know, it opens your eyes up a lot.
Well, in all seriousness, no, I don't eat whales. Great show, though. And it does show how smart these whales are. I'm addicted to them now. I've been watching heaps of YouTube videos killer whales and how they attack their prey. They can speak to each other. They are the smartest animals in the ocean. They're actually quite scary. They're the only animals. They've actually attacked more humans than sharks have.
Mate, what comes up on your YouTube recommended, like Rick Shields, YouTube through balls the other week? Like, what comes up? It'd be so random.
Killer whales, through balls, Rick Shields. Been watching a lot of Vice documentaries. If anyone's on Vice, I watch like those short 10-minute documentaries on like ganglands.
Yep. It's all right across the world.
I like watching the ones as well, like the tours through the Brazilian favelas.
Oh, wow. Yeah, right. I don't know what that is. Favelas.
Favelas? Favelas?
A few fellas.
Favelas. Favelas. I can't say that word probably.
Favelas.
Favelas.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's about it. So that's got 8.1 on IMDb. And that honestly is a good one to get on. And can I give a podcast recommendation
too? Go for it. Well, you're on a roll. You're on a heater. Keep going.
No, I'll save it for next week. Because I can't keep giving it. Like, they're still behind on some of these. These people, they need to watch it. So watch Blackfish first. Let us know what you think. So check that one out, fam. It's unbelievable. And get it on. Thanks again for joining us this week. And hopefully enjoy the grand final. We can't wait to watch it. And just to confirm, Dan, we're not going anywhere. Once the season's done, we're going to continue on the show.
Yeah, you wish we'd go. We're sticking around for a bit. We'll always hang around. We'll never leave you. Never, ever.
Back in studio next week. Back on YouTube.
Try and contact YouTube. See, I don't know, are we suspended temporarily? Don't know. We haven't been on there for a while. Is lockdown playing a part with that? Like, who even knows anymore? What bloody day is it? I'm just kidding, guys. Anyway, see you later.
Buckley kicked one from 50 last week. He's celebrating a point. Jackie Chan.